And when we are looking up, we are in an attitude of worship. And as we look up to Jesus this morning, I trust that our hearts are also being lifted up, and we're worshiping him together here this morning. Greet you this morning in the name of our Savior and welcome each one here, especially glad to see visitors here with us this morning. Invite you to continue worshiping together here with us. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Micah. And if you're like me, it's easy to lose track of where these minor prophets come. It'll be right after Jonah and just before Nahum. The book of Micah, chapter 4. I'm going to read the first four verses. First five verses. But in the last days, it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and the people shall flow into it. And many nations shall come and say, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among many people, and rebuke strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. And they shall sit every man under his vine, under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid. For the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken it. For all people will walk, every one, in the name of his God, and we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. We just finished our Sunday school lesson on the Sermon on the Mount, those three chapters in Matthew that were given by Jesus, a fulfillment of this prophecy, a direct fulfillment of this prophecy, that the people will be drawn to the mountain, and there he gives the teachings. One of the teachings that he gave was that of non-resistance. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. And so it's significant that we have that prophecy here in the Old Testament. That's not exactly my subject this morning. I want to focus on the fifth verse where he says, for all people will walk everywhere, everyone, in the name of his God, and we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. We will walk in the name of the Lord our God. This statement is a statement of truth that holds true for all sorts of religions. People walk in the name of their God. To walk is equivalent to carrying on a course of practical activity and to put in practice those things that we believe that our God represents. The name of a God is his manifested character. And so the expression there, to walk in the name of our God, means to live according to the to how I believe that this God not only teaches, but who he is, and to try to emulate that. In the Lord's Prayer, we have the expression, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And this phrase, hallowed be thy name, precedes then the petition, thy will be done. And the God that we worship is the God that's going to characterize how I live and whose will I am going to express in practical ways in my everyday living. In Colossians chapter 2, we have the apostle there giving a truth that pretty much is a New Testament reflection of what Micah says there. In chapter 2 of Colossians, in verse 4, he says, but God, no, I'm in Ephesians, Colossians 2, 4. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words, for though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. And he's talking to Christians. He's talking to those who are professing Christianity, and he is commenting on their order and their steadfastness of their faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. And so, as we have received him, so we walk in him. And to walk in him represents a lot of things that I want to talk about here in the next few minutes. A man's God is what rules his practical life. Religion is dependence on a being recognized to be perfect and sovereign, whose will guides and whose character molds our life. And so this general statement can be broken up into parts. We may dwell upon the attitude of dependence, or that of submission, or on admiration, or recognition of a perfect ideal, or on the aspiration of becoming like that person. But we come last of all on this thought, and that is that the goal of religion is likeness, and the truest worship is imitation. And we have that book, The Imitation of Christ, and the main theme is, what would Jesus do? And I want to order my life according to what I think Jesus would do in every given circumstance. Well, that is the truest form of worship, is imitation. And so with this view of the essence of religion, basically, it brings us then to this question, who or what is our God? And it makes it very easy to apply and to search, to test our lives with this question. Whatever we profess, and that which we feel ourselves dependent on, that which we invest wrongly or rightly with supreme attributes of excellence, that which we aspire after as our highest goal, that which shapes and orders the current of our lives, is our God. And so let's put ourselves to that test this morning. What is our highest aspiration? Where are our goals? What am I willing to sacrifice for? What gives when their choice needs to be made? These things determine or help us to determine who is our God or what is our God. We call ourselves Christians. If we tried ourselves by this, by a test like that, you know, would we pass or would we fail? Would it thin the ranks of professing Christianity a little bit like Gideon? You know, Gideon had 10,000 men. And when the test came, he put them to the test there by the brook, and some lapped water like a dog, and some took it up in their hands and drank that way. And the 10,000 dwindled down to 300. You know, are we Christians because we call ourselves Christian? No matter what profession we make or how flaming our testimonies, our practical Christianity is determined by an answer to this question. What do we most desire? What do we most eagerly pursue? What am I willing to give up or to put second in my life? What is most important to me? Is it more important for me to work on time in every day of the week, or to be in church on time on Sunday morning or Sunday evening? Is my hay laying in the field more important to me than to be in prayer meeting on Wednesday evening? How much does it take to keep me away from spiritual atmosphere, spiritual nourishment and encouragement? These are some tests that we can give ourselves. Today we have as much need as ever that the nation of Israel had of the scathing words of the prophet Isaiah when he said, "Their land is full of silver and gold, neither is there any end of their treasures. Their land is also full of idols. They worship the work of their own hands." Now, I trust that that doesn't describe us, but that is a tendency. That is a pull that is real. It exists. And I think that we need to check ourselves and examine ourselves. Who or what is my God? Who am I worshiping? Who gets first place in my life when these questions come? Is it more efficient? Is it more profitable for me financially, even though it may cause me to sacrifice a biblical principle or to compromise on some practical point of Christian living? What takes priority in my life? Who is or what is my God? Well, we talked about money already. What about knowledge? You know, if I can scoff and scorn and disdain those that I feel are below me in knowledge and understanding, I can laugh at them because they mispronounce words and because they don't know very much. I'm exalting myself as knowing more, and I can mock. You know, what is my God? Is that the way that we relate to our brother or sister in Christianity? Certainly not. You know, what is my God? Who is my God? If we are serving the Lord, we will esteem one another better than ourselves, not beneath ourselves. And so I'm just giving these things as a test. They're practical things. Money, knowledge, the good opinion of others. You know, what am I willing to sacrifice or compromise on just so people will think good of me? Social success. You know, where I belong in the social strata. Let's not allow these things to become gods to us, where we're willing to compromise or to sacrifice Christian principle to achieve them. There is a worse idolatry than that which bows down before idols of wood and stone. The goals that absorb us, our highest ideal of excellence, that which, when possessed, we think would secure happiness, whether it is money, whether it's social status, whether it's knowledge or whatever it is, these can become our gods. Now, I believe that it is true that what we do, we need to do with our might. We need to do it well. We need to do it under the framework of Christianity and Christian principles. And there's no the word doesn't come to me right now, bonus or whatever for ignorance or for laziness. These kind of things is not what I'm talking about. But I believe that if we're going to be zealous in our faith, that zeal will also go into all other areas of our lives. Our faith will have priority. The Lord says, thou shalt not give my glory to another, nor my praise to graven images or to other gods. And so the worshiper will resemble his God in character. And as I've already said, the goal of our Christianity is to be like him. The truest worship is imitation. The level of morality and character will never rise above the type enshrined in our God. If our God is material things, we will do anything to achieve it, financial success. We will compromise. We will sidestep Christian principle in order to achieve it. They that make them are like them. So is everyone that trusts in them. And we're talking about gods that are made by hands. And we have the example of the idolatrous Israelites. You know, whether it was Baal or whether it was Ashtaroth or whether it was Venus or Jupiter, the pagan gods, these gods set the tone for the morals of the people. Low ideals can never lead to higher living. The worship of money makes our complexion, spiritual complexion, unhealthy. Here's a quote. A man who concentrates his life's effort upon something earthly, or on some earthly good, the attainment of which seems to be, so long as it is unattained, his passport to bliss, thereby makes himself blind to many a nobler vision. And simply what he's saying here is that if that's where we place our goals, if that's where we expect to find happiness and fulfillment, we are going to be disappointed, and our goals is set low enough that we will not achieve spiritual success. The desire to reproduce in the limitations of our human spirit the infinite beauties of the Lord our God is going to elevate our lives. It's not going to lower us. But as we focus on the Lord and we desire to be more like him, to be perfect, even as our Father which is in heaven is perfect, it's going to daily build us up. It's going to, not that we are doing it for our own glory, but we're doing it for the glory of God. It will give elevation to our lives and dignity to our actions, attainable from no other source. If we hallow his name, we shall do his will, and earth will become a foretaste of heaven. In Philippians 3:18-20, for many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. And so let's be sure this morning that our life is imitating Christ, and that our goals are set in heaven. He says, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And like Enoch, who just walked straight into heaven without facing death, I think so also we as Christians, as we follow the Lord Jesus, can also, as our conversation is in heaven, that is going to be our goal, and that is going to be our reality for us someday. So let's test ourselves with those questions. Who is my God? What is my God? Shall we kneel for prayer?